I think it'd be, Matthew 27, verse 40. I'll just back it up at the paragraph marked verse 39 for context. It says, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads." So, of course, we're talking about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's on the cross now and bearing the sins of the whole world. And you've got people seeing literally prophecy come to pass. All these things are in the Psalms, especially Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. And this is what they're saying. I mean, you think people say, well, it's so bad right now. You wouldn't believe it's never been this bad. It's been so bad that they place an innocent Savior on the cross and watch him being crucified. Y'all, in the first thing, it's showing you how people wonder how bad things can get. We hadn't got this level to the place to where they're watching people be crucified, hanging on a cross out in public and walking by and just wagging their heads and just going, now that's pretty bad. So it's easy to complain. Y'all, that's why I'm telling you. It's something about serving the Lord that keeps you in a positive mind state. Now, I'm just like anybody else. I believe that whole principle, you have to have a negative before you can have a positive. I know all that stuff. But the positive outweighs the negative. We don't have to be, we've already got the victory. We don't have to be in a negative mind state. You got people that, and man, if they don't see what's going on in the Bible, they'll get so downhearted about everything going on, and then they just completely lose hope, and then before long they've despaired. But this is pretty bad stuff right here. And it's happened before, and it's been way worse before. And so look, I thank God I know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to be taken out of here before you see. Because I'm telling you, this world is in for it, the folks that don't know the Lord Jesus. It says, "And saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Now, I could probably take 2 or 3 lessons in that one verse right there. But one thing I want you to know is, you don't have to turn there, but it says, I think it's, let me make sure it's Matthew 4:2 before I read that. I got a scribal error here. I hate when I do that. But anyway, these people are saying, thou that destroyedest the temple, all right, and buildest it in 3 days. Well, what you're seeing here is hypocrites. The Bible calls the Sadducees and Pharisees hypocrites. Now, if you want to study hypocrites in the Bible, all you got to do is study those Jesus called hypocrites, and it's the Sadducees and Pharisees. Now, this is one thing in life that I pray that God will help me not to be, and others not to be, as hypocrites. Because the cleanest people on the outside were the filthiest on the inside. Y'all, that's a scary thing. Here these people are. They, on the outside, they look like they were as good of folks as you've ever seen in your life. But on the inside, they'd say things like this right here to a man that's suffering, kicking people while they're down, go ahead and come down and stuff like that. That's the danger of cleaning up on the outside without cleaning up on the inside does. That's how dangerous it is, because I know people and they say, I pay my bills, I work, I do all this stuff. And you say, well, are you saved? I just told you I pay my bills, I do right, I'm a good person. That don't get you anywhere. Y'all, I tell you something. I thank God. Now look, I'm about as clean as I can be. I've got my suits and stuff at the cleaners for the revival next week. So I got this on. But I'm pretty clean on the outside. But y'all, this ain't going to get me nowhere. God has to come in and go on the inside of us and do a work on the inside. And you know what? I still struggle every single day. So that's why, and it just has to do with I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But as far as my eternity, that's already done. Look, this is something a lot of people have trouble with. These people right here were clean on the outside, dirty on the inside. But here's the thing. Once Jesus comes in on the inside, my eternity's fixed. And people don't realize this. They'll say, well, so-and-so, he's not living like so-and-so. He must not be saved. If he's trusted Jesus Christ, he has. Why? Because that takes care of your eternity. That's what people don't get. They got their eyes on this one and the other and another. Well, my main enemy's me. I'll tell you every Sunday, man, I have more trouble with myself. So you know what the main thing to tell people to do is get saved and then let Jesus clean you up. Because, look, some people are going to have trouble in one area and not have trouble in another. I know some people, they don't cuss. They got about as clean a vocabulary as they can have, but they got trouble in other areas. And some people, they don't do hardly some of the good best folks you ever been around, and they cuss. Well, they ain't lost because they cuss. Cussing don't send you to hell, not trusting Christ. Knowing those things right there is so important. Why? Because when you read the biggest hypocrites in the Bible, it's the folks who've got the outside cleaned up. That's the people who do stuff like this. It's dangerous. And they say, if thou be the Son of God. You know what the devil said? The devil asked Jesus over there in Matthew 4, and that's probably what I was probably referencing to. It's coming to me now. He said, if thou be the Son of God, Matthew, in the temptation over in Matthew 4, I believe it's verse 3. If thou be the Son of God, command the stone to be made bread and things like that. That's the devil questioning. What the devil will get people to do? If this and if that other thing, that if has to be phrased a biblical way. The devil will question the Son of God. And I tell you something, the devil questions the deity of Jesus Christ. There's a thing going on right now with a lot of people who say they believe the Bible, but they're questioning the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And was he God? Look, Jesus is God. The Bible said he was and he is to come. He's the Alpha and Omega. You're not going to get any bigger than the Alpha and Omega. The one who conquered death, hell, and the grave, that's the Lord himself. And they're questioning. So you'll see these things. Now another thing too. In verse 40, they knew what he was talking about in John chapter 2 then. Whenever he said he was going to destroy the temple. He said, you destroyed this temple and I raised up again in 3 days. They made out like they thought he was talking about the literal temple. But no, he was talking about his temple. And they know way more than what they make out like they do. Look at verse 40 again at the bottom. It says, come down from the cross. You ever notice when you're doing a work for God? You're trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're trying to work. You're trying to provide for your family. You're trying to be a good husband. Trying to be a good mother. Trying to be a good grandparent. Stuff like that. The devil's always trying to get you to come down. Come down to our level. Come down to our level. One of my favorite sayings on that right there, and I said it a good bit, but it's a good one. A lion can whip a skunk, but it's just not worth it. We can drop down to others' level and get on. Y'all, some people, it's just best just not even fool with them. I wished I'd have learned that. I wished I'd have learned that years ago. But it's taken me getting a little bit older to realize I don't have to explain nothing to anybody. Y'all ever seen how a lot of times we feel like we have to explain ourselves to people and tell them why we're not going to do something or why I don't believe this or why? I don't have to explain anything to anybody. Look, I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ, and as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if I think something's right, I don't have to explain it. Look, you do your business, I'm going to come over here and do my business. Why? They're always trying to get you to come down to their level. And that's what they're trying to get. Here's the Lord doing a work for the whole world. Come down from the cross. Matthew 27:41 says, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders. These are people. The scribes, that was the religious leaders of the day, corrupt as they could be. Now, why does it surprise today if people see, you know, your a lot of your biggest TV preachers and stuff like that, and people wonder, well, why do you say that guy? Why do you call out Rick Warren and Joel Osteen and all this stuff? Look, if Joel Osteen got up there and said, I'm not a preacher. I'm a motivational speaker. I'd be fine with everything. I'd be, hey, he lets you know what he's doing. He's a great motivational speaker. He gets up there and smiles. That's that. But when he gets up there and says he's speaking for God and telling everybody you can have your best life now and all this stuff right here, and you have to be real careful about this stuff. Why he gets up there and don't quote the Bible? Look, there are some Christians who have got all kind of blessings from God in one respect and living a great life. There are some Christians living for God over in other countries, especially in a prison. Well, they got God's blessings too, just in a different way. And y'all, we got to be real careful. What about are they having their best life now? See, I'm telling you, a lot of this stuff is in the here's the elders and leaders. A lot of these greatest leaders are some of the craziest crackpots you've ever seen in your life. Why are they making a living? And I tell you, the main thing is to preach the Word of God, no matter what. They say he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. Those liars. They admitted he saved others. Himself. Earlier, where was this admission earlier? You see how they're hypocrites. They're saying, hey, he's saving other people. Well, only the Messiah could open the ears of the deaf. Only the Messiah that was prophesied according to Isaiah and other prophecies could open the eyes of the blind. Only the Messiah. Well, they're saying, hey, he saved others. He can't save himself. Well, thank God he didn't save himself. I tell you what, man, when I read this right here, I say, thank God that God has got restraint. So much so that, what if he'd have just, I'm telling you, he's God. He could have just ripped one of them hands out like that, ripped that other one out like that right there and said, God, give me the power, give me my deity power, and I'm going to come down and just, thank God he didn't do that. Thank God he stayed up on the cross. You know what that lets me know? If God can have restraint in things, I need to ask God for his help to exercise restraint in things. Well, y'all, we're living in a crazy world, man. I'm going to tell you something. I have to exercise. I'm just going to tell you a personal thing. Carl and the kids and stuff, with it was up at Dollar General. And you got some of these people just losing their mind, man. And Titus goes over here, gets a piece of candy, and this lady says, 6 feet back. I thought to myself, boy, you better watch talking to people's kids. Like, why? You just want to, in your flesh, say, hold on just a minute now. You don't talk to my child like that, you crazy crackpot. Well, but you got to be careful. Why? The best thing to do is leave them alone and say, come on back over here. Get away from her. Let's get out of here and try our best to exercise restraint as long as they're not putting their hands on. Well, we're living in a time now. I saw a guy the other day. Look, this stuff, what I'm saying is, look, people don't believe how they're carrying stuff too far. I saw a guy the other day. I've known him since I was a child. I used to ride on a church bus with him and stuff. I saw him. I come up to him. He's just a few years older than me. I said, what's going on? But I wasn't thinking. I put my hand out like this right here. He's, ho, 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 now ho. I'm thinking, what was that? I wasn't even thinking because, you know, different, like I said, different people handle things. But I'm just saying, my initial instinct was not to have restraint and say, man, what in the world is wrong with you? But then I got to think, well, hold on just a minute now. Let me back up here. He's got his something. He's scared. I understand that. So I said, hey, so this is what I do. Have a good day now. We'll see. And I went on about my business. Now, what do you have to do? We're living in a time now, y'all, where you just, it's so easy to jump in the flesh and say something where we're going to have to exercise restraint. Because I'm going to talk about fear today in the sermon. We're living in a time now, y'all, where there's so much misinformation, so much propaganda, and so much fear, fear, fear. Just look, they're making millions and billions of dollars off this stuff. Y'all, there's some of these mask companies. Look, and if somebody wants to wear a mask, look, that's fine. I'm not, y'all know me well enough to know I don't. But you go online and you research how many people have become millionaires and some of them billionaires off of some of the stuff that's went along with this virus. Look, and some of these news outlets, that during all this coronavirus stuff, their ratings have went way up. Well, they want to keep something ramped up because, man, they're making money. And, man, they just keep people just all elevated. When a Christian's not supposed to be like that. And what it is, a lot of it's just coming from crazy leaders. And it's always, people say, well, it's never been this way. Look, a lot of it, you see back then, your leaders way back then were crazy. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ exercised restraint on that cross where he said, I'm staying up here even though I could come down. There are going to be instances in our life where we say, hey, I could do something about it. And I could say this, or I could, but the best thing to do is exercise restraint and let God handle it. And I thank God, when I see this right here, I see all kind of things in there. And I thank God he stayed on that cross. I thank God he shed his blood. But at the same time, I thank God that God had restraint. And that's what I get out of. I get a lot of that stuff out of there. The Bible says, let's see, what was that? I think it's, 42. So 43, it says, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. If, you see all these ifs in here? If he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. Now, he trusted in God. Now, that was prophesied that they would do that in Psalm 22:8. But here's some things I wanted to show you about this. Their accusation here proves that they don't believe God's word. Now, I want to give you a couple verses. Psalm 118, I'm going to read this to you. In Psalm 118, they said their own self that he trusted God. All right. So, I said 118. It's Psalm 18. Man, I write verses down wrong all the time. I'm glad the Lord's merciful. Psalm 18, verse number 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. That's what the Psalm said. They all have the Psalms. Well, they said he trusted in God. So do they not believe the word then? All right, here, I want to give you a few more. Psalm 115. I know I had to write that down right. Psalm 115. I just want to show you what God do if you trust him. Well, Paul tells us to trust God. We're supposed to trust him. You know what I trust? I trust God with my life, my soul, and my family. Y'all, I tell the kids this. We get talking about things. And I tell them, I say, children, I want y'all to have a personal relationship with the Lord because Daddy can't be with y'all over the place. When they're out in that pasture running out and Titus is climbing trees and stuff like that, and I try to tell them, you know, and like I said, my mind's on safety. I'm talking about safety today. And I try to tell them, be careful, but at the same time, it's only so much level of carefulness a child's gonna take. But I'm not going to say, just stay right around here at the house. Just stay right around. Don't go no further than 6 or 8 feet from. What kind of childhood? You going to keep them in a prison? So I tell them, look, go out there and play. And I say, Lord, take care of them. You know what? And I say, y'all have a personal relationship with the Lord. If you get in trouble, you know what I tell them to do? First thing to do, call out on the Lord and ask him to help you. Well, he can watch them. Well, safety is of the Lord. Trusting in the Lord. Look at this thing here. Psalm 115, verse number 11 says, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. And you know what's wrong with a lot of folks that have false fear? According to this, it says, ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. When you trust the Lord, you know what that shows you? You're not fearing other things over him. You're trusting him. He is their help and their shield. So if they said he trusted in the Lord, how come they don't believe the word? How come God's not shielding him? They're just quoting the Bible and don't even believe it. You know what's wrong with a lot of folks? They're like these Sadducees and Pharisees. They got the Bible and they quote it and don't even believe the book they quote. Here's another psalm. No. Here's one. Here's a good one. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29. I just want to tell y'all, when I get up here and preach, one thing I love about this is this. I can preach a word and I can tell folks. I've got family members and folks. Y'all, we're friends in the Lord. And stuff. I try to say, Lord, help me help these people and point them to you. I don't have any wisdom. But I know that I've got the wisdom of this book right here. And my point, y'all, to the book is something eternal and everlasting that can help you. Well, here's some things right here that'll help you. Proverbs 29, look at verse number 25. The Bible says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare." All right, well, you better believe that. Herod learned that in the Bible. Pilate learned that in the Bible. And you know what people all the time, they're always fearing what man's going to think instead of what God's going to think. And all this fear of man, y'all know there's all kind of instances in that. But it says, "But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Like I said, I'm preaching my sermon to y'all before I even get to it. So all I hear is safety, safety, safety. I get so tired of that junk. And I believe in safety. But y'all, you seen what the Bible said? They said he trusts in the Lord and God, let him deliver him. Now, well, if they really believe that he trusts in God, according to their Bible, he's supposed to be safe. But you know what? He's dying for sins on the cross, and sin was imputed to him. You know why he wasn't safe? He had God the Father on that cross imputed our sins to him. You know what that tells me? Sinner's not going to be safe. Ultimately speaking, their soul is not safe and nothing about them is safe. They, like the old saying is, they got one foot in the grave and the other foot on a banana peel. Brothers, I can tell you something. If I die, the safest place I can be is in the hands of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord Jesus that, look, my wife is saved, my children are saved. Guess what? They're safe. That's why whenever they leave and go out and go get on their bikes and jumping off hills or whatever, look, I don't want nothing bad to happen to them, but at the same time, they're in the hands of God. He can keep them safe. If I didn't have that, I'd be sitting there biting my fingernails all over the place, which I got to quit, man. I get my pocket knife out and I sharpen and I'll test it out. But y'all, I thank the Lord. I trust in the Lord. And guess what? My safety comes from Him. Well, you know what I can point people to? Safety is of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. It's of the Lord. These people right here, they're like so many people in the world today. They say, "He trusts in God, let Him deliver Him." Well, Psalm 22 said they weren't going to believe the Bible. Jesus said, "Hey, you wouldn't believe though one rose from the dead. Why, you have Moses and the prophets. You're not going to believe the Bible. You're definitely not going to believe though. If Jesus were to come down from the cross, they wouldn't have believed. Why? Because look, if they won't believe the Bible, they won't believe nothing. And that's what we've got. We've got to get to the place. I think somebody's out there, but they may come in here in just a minute. We'll go on a little bit further. Bible says the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, I've heard several people say things about this text right here, but there's verses in the Proverbs that say that words go down in the innermost part of the belly. So when people say things, it gets down in here. I've had people, I've took a few whippings down through the years. I've had like old Jerry Clower says, pop knots on my head in shape of wishbone formation. I healed from that. But you know what? It's the things people said that still stuck with me. It takes a long time to heal from them words. Well, I thought about a devotional aspect of this because I'm sure that was a saying back then. We got all kind of sayings today. Cast the same in his teeth. But you know what? They didn't go down in the innermost parts of his. But all those words that they're saying, if he be the Son of God, stuff like that. What they're saying to him didn't go any further than right here. You know what? I've heard a man say one time, we've got teeth. They're a cage for the tongue. So, you got your, sometimes the old saying is swallowing angry words is better than having to eat them afterwards. He just kept his mouth shut about it. Cast the same. He just kept his mouth shut and clenched his teeth and took it like a man, the man Christ Jesus. When he could, he is the truth. He could have told them the truth and everything. You know what? There's a lot of times with us, there's things we could say and stuff and people are not going to listen. They're not going to listen. Best thing to do is just keep our mouth shut and keep serving God. You know what I'm going to do in life? I've read things like this right here. And as this world gets crazier and crazier, you know what I've learned? And I've learned it from the Lord just watching His example. If somebody's not going to believe the Bible, Who do I think I am anyway to see if I can convince? Best thing to do is just keep my mouth shut and keep going about my day. And guess what? That way I hadn't had an argument with somebody who don't believe the book. And I can go on about and enjoy my work. And that, I think that's one of the best things that we can do in life is not let things bother us. He just kept on going. He kept on doing his work for God. The Bible says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land under the ninth hour." So for 3 hours, there's complete darkness. Now, I tell you something, man. Don't you know that'd be scary? Now, I'll close out with this. He'd been saying, and I'm fascinated by this, "I'm the light of the world, I'm the light of the world, I'm the light of the world." Telling those Sadducees and Pharisees, "I'm the light of the world." And they've heard him say, "I'm the light of the world," and talk about light and darkness and all that stuff. And they get the Son of God, S-O-N. But Malachi says he's the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. So that's showing you that Son is a picture of the S-O-N. They get him on the cross, and he's dying for sins, and the Father shuts the light off, saying, "He was my Son. You put the Son of God on the cross." Don't you know somebody had to be thinking, what has happened? When the sun just went out, wasn't an eclipse or nothing else, just sun just went out. I'm telling you something, that'd be scary. You know what? That same God, I thank God, I know that God is my Savior. You know what? I'm on the winning side of that. I never have to worry about anything like that right there. Why? Because I am saved. I've already trusted. We're trusting in the shed blood of the Lamb. Look, that gets me excited. Why? Look, the last thing you ever have to worry about if you're saved is outer darkness. You know what that Bible says when people don't trust in that cross? The Bible calls hell outer darkness. Why? No light. No light whatsoever. Thank God I'll be in the Bible talks about the light to be so bright. Look, you're going to have a brand new body to be able to stand the light. Man, hey, I like light. When I was younger, I didn't mind darkness and stuff like that. But now, all I want to do is, I like well-lit rooms. I like to be able to see good. And you know what? We're going to be able to see just right one of these days. We'll close out with that. Brother John, if you would close us out.